Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Gimel. We're learning today Le'ila Nishmas, Joyce friend, Yospit Bas Kalman. She's the mother of one of our regular listeners, David friend, and Nitz Hashem, her neshama shev Aliyah, all the neshamas we learned for shev and Aliyah from listening to the shiur. We begin on the very top line, Nun Gimel Omid Aleph, with the words Tana Rabbanan. No need for any introduction today because the first brayta that we start off with will get us right into the shiur. Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk tells us, V'nosan es haketores alo eish lefnei Hashem. That pasuk is a critically important pasuk. That's what we're quoting here right now. But let's finish off the pasuk as well. V'chisa anan haketores es hakapores asher al hoidos v'lo yomus. Now this pasuk is a critical pasuk for a machlokis that I've mentioned previously, which is the way the Prushim, that's us, have darshan the psukim appropriately, as opposed to the tzukin who have made up the drasha in terms of how you're supposed to go and bring the ketores on Yom Kippur. So the proper halachic way, the way that we darshan, as we'll see in the Gemara now, based upon this psuk, these psukim that we're going to darshan, is that the Kohen Gadol brings the incense separately into the Beis HaMikdash, carrying it in his left hand, as we said. He brings the shovel with the coals in his right hand, and then he burns the incense when he's inside Lifnai V'Lifnim, the Holy of Holies. The Tztukim say otherwise. They say you have to enter with the Ketores already burning. What is this machlokis? So that's what the Braisa tells us. Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk tells us you'll take the Ketores, V'Nasen Ase Ketores, Al Ha'esh Lifnei Hashem. You only put it on the fire in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, shelo yisakein mibachutz v'yachnis, that it shouldn't be already burning. The coals and the incense shouldn't be together before you enter into the Holy of Holies. And that's what this pasuk tells us, beferish. Shelo yisakein mibachutz. Do not put the incense on the coals outside of the Holy of Holies and then v'yachnis and come inside with it already smoking. And this pasuk clearly is lahotzi miliba shel tztukin. This pasuk clearly comes against the tztuki position, and they say, Sha'omrim, yisake mibachutz, you should go and put the coals and the incense together before you enter into the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Kohen Gadol should do, and only then v'yachnis. Now, what was their thinking? You know, the tztukim are totally wrong, but they had a svara. What was their svara? My darush, what was their thinking? So they darshaned the following pasuk, where it says, Ki ba'anon eroeh ala kapores. And this pasuk is also a critical pasuk, which we'll have to explain in a moment. But it says, when you come in that way, v'lo yomos ki be'anon eroeh ala kapores. So this pasuk teaches us, at least that's what the tztukim thought, melamed sheyisake mibachutz, that you have to have it burning beforehand and only enter with it burning. However, the Chachamim said, that's wrong. Amar Chachamim, but the pasuk that we brought down, Halo kvar nemar v'nasen es haketores halo eish lefnei Hashem. The pasuk b'feirush says you put it on the incense on the coals inside the Kodesh Kodashim. So what is your pasuk therefore supposed to be teaching us? In kein ma tamud lomar ki be'anon eira hakapores. That is a valid pasuk. So what do you do with that pasuk? Melamed shenosin ba male oshon. That pasuk is coming to teach us a critical ingredient of the ketores, and that is the male oshon. The male oshon was one of the 11 spices, or one of the 11 ingredients of the ketores. We had learned about this early in the Masechta, that the male oshon, the people in the house of Aftinas, they knew exactly what the male oshon was. Some suggest that it was a certain species within the general species of male oshon that would, when it was added to the ketores, would allow the ketores to go straight up. The smoke would go straight up without dispersing. Now, the simple understanding is that there were several acceptable halachic types of male oshon, but only one of them, which the Beis Aftinas knew which one, would have this property of having the smoke go straight up. You needed to have the male oshon. According to everybody, if you missed one of the ingredients, chiser achas b'chol misamonel chayv misa, as we'll darshan out today, and as we say every morning in the korbanos section of the davening, so you can't miss out on it, but the ideal, optimal male oshon, only this Beis Aftinas family knew. So therefore, this pasuk that says, ki be'anon eireh ala kapores, so that is needed to tell us that you must have male oshon. Now that's the reason why you need to have male oshon. But now the Gemara says something very strange, which I'll have to explain. And it asks, "Uminayin shenosi ba male oshon?" And how do you know that it needs male oshon? So it seems to be saying another pasuk, shenema v'chiso anan haketores es hakapores. So this additional pasuk is what we know that you need to have male oshon. So we seem to have two psukim to tell us male oshon, which the Gemara will ask in a second. Now, from the second pasuk, it says, "Halo nosan but maliyoshan." We learned that if you didn't add the maliyoshan, or oshechiser achas mischol samanel, or you left out one of the 11 spices, so then chayev misa. Then you would in fact be chayev misa visa bidei shemayim. Now, in a moment, we'll ask, why do we need to bring a second pasuk? Seeing the first pasuk, ki ba'anon erel ha-kaporis, which the stukim misappropriated and used to say that you came into the Kodesh Kodoshim with it already smoking, so that's incorrect, and we use it to teach us maliyoshan, so the Gemara will answer in a second, so why do we need another pasuk? But he saw anon ha-kaporis as the kaporis to teach us maliyoshan. So we'll get to that in a moment. But meanwhile, the Gemara says, v'teipuklei, why does the Torah need to tell us over here that you chayv misa if you were chiser achas michol samanel? Why do you need a separate pasuk to tell me? L'chisa anana ketoris esekaporis to teach us that. There should be another reason why you should be chayv misa. Dekoma ayel biorei kodis. Because you're entering into the Kodesh Kodashim without a reason to do so. Because if you don't have all of the 11 spices, so then you have no ketores. And if you have no ketores, that's called a biorekonis. That's calling going in there for no reason whatsoever. And a person who goes inside the Holy of Holies for no reason whatsoever is chayav misa. So what do I need over here for you to tell me that it's because it was chiser achas michol samanel that you chayav misa? You should be chayav misa because it's a biorekonis. So we give several different answers. Amr Rosheshes says, you know why? You're not chayiv misa because hachav mayaskinon kigon sheshagag bevia. You didn't realize that you're not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash Kodesh Kodashim without a reason. So therefore, that was a shogeg. However, vehezid baktora, but you knew that you didn't have all 11 spices, and therefore you're amazed on that, and that's why you're chayiv misa, because you're chisa chas michol samanel chayiv misa. The B.R.A. Karnis, that you were shogeg on. You didn't know you weren't allowed to go in there if there was no purpose, and therefore that you're not chayiv misa on. So that's why you need this pasuk to tell me, for chiser achas michol samanel chayiv misa. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, no, afilu teimo hezid bazu ubazu. You could even say that he was not shogeg babia. He was mazid babia. And he was mazid with having only 10 of the 11 spices, for example. And nevertheless, he still would be chayev misa. You need a separate pasuk to tell me that a chisa chas mischol samanel chayev misa, even though the bia reikonis would also be chayev misa. And you know why Ravashi says you still need it? Kagon, for example, in the following situation, the ayil shtei haktoros. You, in fact, brought in two haktoros of ketores. One was good and one was not. Achas shleima, one was perfectly good, and therefore it's not a biorei kanis, and that's why you're not chayef a biorei kanis. But the other one that you brought, don't ask me why he did this, but he brought in one that had 11 spices, and then he brought in another ketores that only had 10 spices. The achas chaseira. And therefore, a biorei kanis lo mechayef. Because the whole ayil leishleima, because you didn't go in there for no reason, you went in there with a good haktoris haktoris. So that's why you're not chayef a biorei kanis. However, for the chasera one, a haktora, you are mechayef the komikta ketoris chasera, because you burnt the ketoris and only had 10 of the 11 spices. So for that one, you chayef misa. So that's why he gives this reason. Ravashi says, because you are chayef in this situation, not for biorei kanis, but just for chiser achas b'chol samanel. Fine. Those are the two answers that we give. And now we go back and we ask the question that I alluded to before. Why do we need two psukim to tell us that you need maliyoshan? And we said, Omamar, uminayin shenosim ba maliyoshan. We asked again, why do you need maliyoshan? And we bring another pasuk, tamaloma, v'chisa anan haketores es hakapores. So the Gemara asks, kra likra? You give me a second pasuk. The first pasuk wasn't good enough. Why bring me a second pasuk? So I'm Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, no, hachikamar, this is what we're saying. Ein li'elo alei maliyoshan. I would only know, right now we're assuming that the leaf, the alei, is the better part of the maliyoshan. So if you only had one pasuk, I would say you must bring in the best part of the maliyoshan, the leaves of the aliyoshan. How do we know that the ikor means the shoresh, the root of the maliyoshan, is also acceptable? Minayin, Talmud Lomar, v'chisa anan haketores es hakapores. So the two psukim are one to teach me that the leaves are good, and the other one is to teach me that the shorish, the roots, are good. More questions. So I'm like Abai says to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, wait a second, Rebbe, va'iv chotanya, but the Braisa seems to say the exact opposite. The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, no san ba'ikar maliyoshon, if you put in the root of the maliyoshon, so then, hoya misamer va'ole kemakel. Then if you knew what the right root of the maliyoshon was, so then the smoke of the incense would go straight up, misamer va'ole kemakel, would go straight up like a stick, until Achimegia Lishmei Korah, until it reached the ceiling, until it reached the roof of the Kodesh Kodashim, and then Kivon Shegia Lishmei Korah, when it reached the roof of the Kodesh Kodashim, it would spread out. Mimashmesh the Yored Beksal, it would spread out along the entire Tikkur, Rashi says, and then when it reached the walls, it would go down the walls, and then it would fill up the entire room, Achinismale Habayis Osh, until the whole Kodesh Kodashim was filled with smoke, Shenemar. The pasuk tells us that it has to be filled up entirely. The Tosfos Yeshanim says, "Ein ze elo dimyon ba'alma." The kra gabe srofim ksiv velo gabe ketores. This pasuk is really not found by the ketores; it's found by srofim. So the pasuk technically wasn't talking about the ketores ketores. So therefore, it's really not a perfect proof. But that's the allusion, the asmachta to this. So therefore, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, it looks like the root is the most important part. So therefore, El Omer Abaye says, Hachi Komer, this is the right answer. Ein li ela ikar male yoshon. If I only had one pasuk, I would say that's the root. Ay, ale, male yoshon minayin. But the leaves, how do we know that they're acceptable? Oh, that's the second pasuk, Tamal Omer v'chisa. Fine. So he says essentially the same answer. You need the two psukim, one to tell me the root, one to tell me the leaves. The only difference between them is which is the more important one. Rav Sheshes Omer, Rav Sheshes gives a different teretz. Rav Sheshes says, Ein li ela Ohel Moed Shebe Midbar, I might have thought that the only time you need the Mali Yoshan is in the Ohel Moed, in the Midbar, in the Mishkan. How do we know when the Mishkan came to Shiloh, and in the Beis HaMikdash, Ubeis Olam Minai, that you also need the Mali Yoshan there? Oh, that's what you need the second pasuk for, Talmud Lomar, V'chisa, Anan HaKetoris Es HaKaporis. So the second pasuk is to come to teach me that it's not only something in the Ohel Moed, but it was even in the Mishkan and Shiloh, as well as in the Beis HaMikdash. Mor says, wait a second, I already have a pasuk to tell me that. Hi, that I would know from the pasuk me, v'chein ya'aseh lo'ol mo'ed, ha'shochein itam, nafka. We learned that out from a different pasuk. The pasuk says, v'chiper ala kodesh mitumos b'nei Yisrael, mipishehem l'chol chadosam, v'chein ya'aseh lo'ol mo'ed, ha'shochein itam, l'soch tumasam. This is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Wherever the Shechina's presence is, not only in the Ohel Moed. So therefore, I don't need the second pasuk. So Gemara says, you're right. This is what he's telling us. I would only need to think that I need the Mali Yoshan on Yom Kippur. B'shayim Oseshana, every day, by Shachris, and by Bein Harabayim, Minayin. How do we know that I also need the Mali Yoshan then? Oh, Talmud Lomar V'chisa. That's what we need the second pasuk for. Another teretz, Rav Ashi Amar, I need chad l'mitzvah v'chad l'yakev. One is to tell me that you should do it as a mitzvah. And the second time is to tell me that if you didn't do it, then it's ma'akev, yichayev misa. Tosa says, why don't we learn that out from the word chukah? It says chukah, so therefore, that tells me that it's ma'akev. So Tosa says, and ramasu chad l'mitzvah v'chad l'yakev, yishma d'chukah lo koy ela yom kippur. That would only tell me for Yom Kippur, but I wouldn't know for the ketores of kol hashana. Okay. Another teretz, Rav Amar, Chad Leonesh v'Chad Leazara. I need one to teach me the warning and one to tell me the punishment. That's why I need two psukim. As it says in the Braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, V'lo Yomus, the pasuk that says V'lo Yomus, that tells me the Onesh, you won't die. And Kibe Anon, Era Es, Akaporis, that's the Azara, that's the warning. Now the Gemara asks a question, what about the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, the great tzaddikim, Nadav and Avihu, who died by bringing an Eish Zar on the Mizbeach. So, was this the problem that they didn't have Mali Yoshan? Maybe the reason that Nadav and Avihu died was because both the Azhara and the Onesh were mentioned before Nadav and Avihu brought their fire, and therefore, that's why they were punished. Talmud Lomar, the Torah tells us, no, Acharemos Shnei Bnei Aaron. This was only said after the death of Nadav and Avihu, so that can't be the reason that they died. Maybe both of the psukim were said after the death of Bnei Aaron. No, Talmud Lomar, Kibe Anon, Ra'al Kaporis was said beforehand. Hoketzad. So therefore, how do you learn it? Ashara called them Misa for Onesh Achar Misa. So there was a warning not to do this before Nadav and Avihu brought their Eish Zara on the Mizbeach, but the Onesh was only said afterwards. No, how do we know this? My Talmudah. So Amar Rava says, because the pasuk tells us Amar Kra, ki be'anon eraes akapores, which means v'adayin lo nira, it wasn't yet seen. In other words, the Ohel Moed wasn't set up. So that tells us that it had to be after the death of Nadav and Avihu. So the Azhara came before the death, but the Misa came after their death. I've elamaitai mihiranish. So then wait a second, if both the Azhara and the Misa were not prior to Nadav and Avihu's death, so then why did they die? they didn't do something wrong. They weren't properly warned, and the Azhara and the Misa and the Onesh weren't given. So that, the Gemara says, is a different reason. Kinatanya, like the Brisa tells us, and we'll see, Tosus and others bring down many, many potential reasons why Nadav and Avihu died. Again, I want to stress, Nadav and Avihu were unbelievably great people, and Tzadikim Gedolim are judged b'chut hasara, and if they do something, quote, wrong, for us it would be a mitzvah to do it, but for them, on their high madrega, it's considered a flaw. And the Brisa says, Kedetanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Lo Mesa B'nei Aharon, the reason why Nadav and Avihu died was only Elo Al Shahoru Halacha B'nei Moshe Rabban, because they paskin the halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And a person, Rahman al-Islam, paskins halacha in front of his Rebbe, is Chayav Misa. Mor halacha B'nei Rabban is Chayav Misa. My Dorish, what was the problem? What did they darshan that they did this in front of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Pasuk said, V'nosu B'nei Aharon HaKohen Eish Al Mizbeach, that Nadav and Avihu put a fire up on the Mizbeach. Even though Afapi Sha'esha read this from the Shemayim, even though the fire came down from Shemayim, they still said it's appropriate that we should participate. Mitzvah Lahavi Min Hadjot. Even though the fire is coming down from Shemayim, we should still do it. Now, Moshe and Aaron were there. They should have asked Moshe and Aaron, this is what we think we should do. Is this correct? So therefore, they didn't ask, and therefore it's as if they paskin in front of Moshe and Aaron. And even if you paskin correctly in front of your Rebbe, you chayav Misa. And that's what our Gemara says is the reason why Nadav and Avihu died. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin gives many other reasons, and we can see some of them over here in Tosos. So in Tosos, Dibra Maskul, Shahoru Alocha B'nei Moshe Rabban, brings down for the Torah's Kohanim, the Brice is on Vayikra, Ika Pluksa de Tanoi, Tuva, Mai Tama Yanish. There are many, many reasons potentially postulated as to why Nadav and Avihu died. They were great people, but they tried to push a little too hard, and they said about their holy father and their holy uncle, Aaron HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, when are they going to die so we can take over and become the leaders of Klal Yisrael? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let's see who dies first. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us a different reason. Nami Maisi Lo, Vikaman Di Omar, Perue Rosh Hayu. It said that they went in, Perue Rosh. They hadn't had proper haircuts. Others say, V'ikaman di Omar Shesui Yayin Hayu. We know that the Pasuk right afterwards tells us, Yai V'shechar Al-Tesht. And they went in having drunk a revius of wine, which is inappropriate. Alternatively, V'ikaman di Omar Mechus Revigodim Hayu. Others say, no, that they weren't wearing the full set of garments that the Kohen had to wear. And therefore, they were Mechus Revigodim, this Chayav Misa. Moran Sanhedrin gives other reasons as well. One of the famous ones is that they weren't married and they didn't have the schus of having a wife. Sometimes a person could commit a sin for which he would be chayav misa, but his wife doesn't deserve to be a widow. And therefore, if they had had wives, maybe they would in fact not have died. So they were, unfortunately, chayav misa. There was no wife around to protect them from dying because the wife didn't deserve to be a widow. So therefore, they were punished for not having married anybody. Farshim explained that they were too picky. They said, this person's not good enough for me, this person's not good enough for me, and they made a mistake. They should have gotten married. The other reasons given as well, that they didn't do proper Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. Other reasons too, again, for another time, but there are many, many suggestions as to what Nadav and Avihu did wrong. Again, they were great, great tzaddikim. Moshe and Aaron said to each other, we knew that the Mishkan would be sanctified with the death of one of us. We thought it would be the greatest people, so we thought it would be either you or me, and it turned out it was Nadav and Avihu. So they were unbelievably great people. We shouldn't view all of these suggested faults and flaws that they may have done as in any way degrading their greatness. They were great, great tzaddikim. In any event, we quote the next part of the Mishnah. It says, Yotze Obalo Derech Nisoso. So the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol left the Kodesh Kodoshim after he did the Ketores in exactly the same way that he went in. So that means he backed out. He didn't go and just turn around and walk the other way, but he backed out. So the Gemara says, Mino Hanimili, how do you know this? So Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Amar Krob, because based upon the Pasuk in Divrei Yoyamim says, Vayobo Shlomo Labomo Asher Begivon Yerushalayim. Now, Givon was where the Mishkan was, and Yerushalayim is where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. It's not the same place. So what in the world does it mean when it says, Asher B'Givon Yerushalayim? V'chima Inyan Givon Eitzel Yerushalayim. The two aren't physically together. So what does that mean? He went to Givon, he went to Yerushalayim, but what is Givon Yerushalayim? So we dash out, Elamekish Yitzuyosom Yigivon Yerushalayim, L'biyosom Yerushalayim L'Givon. So we connect over here the leaving from Givon to go back to Yerushalayim in the same way he went, from Yerushalayim to Gibeon. And what is that? Ma biyosom Yerushalayim leGibeon. Just like we went from Yerushalayim to Gibeon, panov klape bama kiderech biyoso. So he faced going in towards the bama, towards the Mishkan in Gibeon. So too, af yitziyoso mi Gibeon Yerushalayim. So too, when he left Gibeon to go back to Yerushalayim, panov klape bama kiderech biyoso. He backed out and didn't turn around. It's pasnished, it's improper kavod to just turn around. But you back out. You leave somebody in a position of submission, in a position of deference. And that's what you should do. And likewise, it wasn't only Shlomo HaMelech who did this, but also V'chein Kohanim B'Avodasan. When the Kohanim finished doing their avoda, they would back away. U'Leviim V'Duchanan V'Yisrael B'Mamadan. Likewise, the Leviim on the Duchan, on the platform where they did the singing, and the Yisrael in the Maimed, they always have to be the people, the Balim of the carbon, have to be present at the bringing of the carbon. So there were representatives of all of Klal Yisrael, amongst the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Yisraelim, and the various Mishmaros, that would be present to do the Avoda, or to do the singing, or to be present as the Balim. So everybody who was involved in this would back away from the job that they had, and not just turn around and walk away. And the Mark continues and says, "Kishehen niftarin." When they backed away, lo yumachzirin pneim v'ochem. They wouldn't turn around and walk away. Elam itzadidin pneim v'ochem. They would turn a little bit sideways, or just be able to look and see that they shouldn't trip, but they wouldn't turn around fully. So they would turn sideways. And this is the way v'chein talmud haniftar mirabo. The way a talmud is supposed to leave his rebbe. Also lo yachzir ponav yel. You just don't turn around and put your back to your rebbe. That's improper. When a person leaves the Aron Kodesh, he just doesn't turn around and put his back to the Aron Kodesh. He backs away in a way that's b'chavadik. Element sadeh panav aholach. You turn to the side, and this way you won't trip. You don't want to back away, as we'll see. You could trip and hurt yourself, but you don't want to turn around and totally walk normally. So you do it in a way that you're backing away in a b'chavadik way. And we have a couple of ma'isa shayit with talmidim and the rabbeim. Kihod Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was a famous talmid of Rav Yochanan. It says elsewhere in the Gemara that when Reish Lakish died, Rabbi Elazar took over, became the Talmud Chavir of Rav Yochanan, and he never ever said anything that he didn't hear from Rav Yochanan. So he was a great, great Talmud of Rav Yochanan. And Kihod Rabbi Elazar, Kad Havi Miftar Minei Rav Yochanan. When he would leave Rav Yochanan, or Rav Yochanan would leave him, this is the way they did it. Kad Havi Boy Rav Yochanan L'Saguye. If Rav Yochanan would be the first to go, so while his Rebbe would go, Rabbi Elazar, Havi gochin koi Rabbi Elazar aduchte. So he would stand bent over in his place until his Rebbe was no longer in view. Adahavi mekasi Rabbi Yochanan minei, until Rabbi Yochanan was no longer in view. Likewise, v'chad have a boy Rabbi Elazar l'saguye. If Rabbi Elazar was leaving his Rebbe, so then havi ka'ozul lachare, he would back away in a way that he was facing his Rebbe at the mekasi minei Rabbi Yochanan until he no longer could see Rabbi Yochanan, and this way he showed deference and respect to his Rebbe. Similarly, Rava, Kad Havi Miftar Minei de Rav Yosef. Rava was a Talmud of Rav Yosef. Now, Rav Yosef was blind. That's an important part of this story. Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef are the two famous blind Amoraim that we have throughout Shas, and their various connections to the fact that they were blind in a number of different ways, as we'll see in this story specifically. So Rava, when he would back away, Kad Havi Miftar Minei de Rav Yosef, so Hava Ozul Achari, he would back away and not turn around and just walk away. And when he backed away, he totally backed away. Ad the minakvon kare, he would bang his legs against the askupa, umitavson iskupa, devei Rav Yosef doma. And the threshold of Rav Yosef's house was filled with the blood that Rava's feet would bang into, and it was filled with blood because Rava was so deferential to Rav Yosef that he didn't care, that he couldn't see where he was going. He wouldn't turn around at all, and he backed away, and he banged his legs, and there was blood all over the askupa, the threshold of Rav Yosef's house. Now, Rav Yosef didn't know this because he was blind. He turned to the Gimel Amud Beis, so the Talmidim had to tell Rav Yosef, Amalele Rav Yosef, Hoch Yavid Rava, wow, look what Rav is doing. So Amalei, so Rav Yosef said to Rava, Yehei Ravach, it should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, the Torum Reshach, that your head should be lifted up, Akula Kracha, over all of Klais, all of this Krach, all of this area, you should be the Rosh Yeshiva. That's a simple way to understand it. That's the way Rashi understands it. Tihya Rosh Yeshiva Sakrach. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel says, Yesh Omrim, Shetia B'chol Halacha K'Rava, that we should always pass like Rava. And that's interesting because we know, except for the Yaal Kagam, when Abaye and Rava are having a disagreement, we always pass like Rava, except for those six cases of the Yaal Kagam. Similarly, Amar Alexandri, Amar Rishuben Levi, Alexandri said in Rishuben Levi, Hamispalot Tzarech Shiyafsiya Sholosh Besios Le'achorev. When you finish your Shmoneh Esrei, you take three steps backwards, as we all know. Again, it's a deferential, I'm leaving the presence of the Shechina. When you take your three steps forward, you're supposed to envision yourself walking into the presence of the Shechina. When you take the three steps back, you're deferentially pulling away from the Shechina. And only afterwards, v'yachakach yitin shalom, only after you've done that can you give shalom alechem to other people, or can you say, oseh shalom b'mramav? You take the three steps back first. This is a very common mistake, by the way, that many people think that as you take the three steps back, you say, oseh shalom b'mramav. No. You take the three steps back and only then say, oseh shalom b'mramav, you turn to the left, as we'll see, then yaseh shalom aleinu, you turn to the right, v'yalko yisrael v'imru amein, you bow towards the middle. We'll see this more in the moment in the Gemara, but it's a mistake that people that are, well, they're taking the steps either forward or backwards. People say, Hashem Shosai Tiftach, as they're walking forward, that's wrong. You should be standing still and only then say, Hashem Shosai Tiftach, and likewise, after you take the three steps back, only then do you say, oseh shalom b'mramav. Then the Gemara says, furthermore, Omar Le, now that's the Girsu that we have, but the Yavit says it shouldn't be Omar Le, it should just be Omar Rav Mordechai. Some suggest that Rav Mordechai was not one of the Amoraim, he's from the later Tekufa, from what's called the Rabbanon Savaroi, or the early Gaonim period of time, and that's why he wouldn't have said it directly to him. In any event, the Yavit deletes over here the word Le. And he says, Omar Rav Mordechai said, Kivin Shepasa Shalosh Pizos Lachorov, only after you've taken the three steps back and you stay in the place, you should stand there for a little bit of time. At least the amount of time that it takes a person to walk Dalet Amos, which is a short distance, so it's a second or two. Dalet Amos is 1.5 to 2 feet, so it's roughly 6 to 8 feet. So that's how you stand there. Other suggestions to stand until the end of the Shmona Esrei, of the silent Shmona Esrei, of the Chazan. And other suggestions to stand there until Kedusha starts. And the reason for this is Marshal a Talmud Haniftami Rabbo. It's like a Talmud that leaves his Rebbe. Im Chozel Yalta, if you left your Rebbe, then you go right back, it looks very silly. And it's Dome, it's similar to Lekelev Sheshov Alkiyo. When the Kelev spits something up so we can understand, it's disgusting. And that's why he spit it up, we don't feel bad. But then he goes back and eats it, he goes back right to it, so then that doesn't make any sense. So too, you're taking leave of your Rebbe, you don't walk back right away. We learned as well in the following braisa. A person has to take the three steps back at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, and only afterwards, either you can then say hello to somebody, or you can say, oseh shalom b'mramav. And in fact, if you didn't take the three steps back, and you just started talking or doing anything that is no longer part of the Shmoneh Esrei, roi lo shalom b'mramav. It would be better for that person if he didn't daven. It's similar, Rashi tells us, that if a person does something wrong, it's better if that the person never had been born, so to say. So too over here, if you're doing this wrong, it's better that you didn't even daven the Shmoneh Esrei because you end up ruining it by the end. So roi lo shelo spalo, it would have been better if you didn't daven. Umishum, now the girsa that we have is Shmaya, but the Bach adds the word Rav Shmaya. Umishum Rav Shmaya Amru, Sheno Sein Shalom Liyomin V'yachachach L'smol. Then when you do Oseh Shalom B'Ramav, you turn to the right. We'll see in a moment it means the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means to your left. And again, you should first turn to your left. You say, Oseh Shalom B'Ramav, you turn to the left. V'yachach L'smol, it means to the small of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you're facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochol. Your left is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right. Your right is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's left, Kaviyochol. And therefore, when you're doing the next part, after you do Oseh Shalom B'Ramav to your left, you then turn Huyaseh Shalom Aleinu to your right. V'yachach L'smol. And the reason for this is Shinemar Mimino Eish Dos Lomo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, so to say, gave it from his right hand. But then we quote another pasuk. V'Omer, it says, Yipol Mitzitcha Elef Urevav Miminecha. On your left there'll be 1,000, and on your right there'll be 10,000 that will fall to you. Now, why do we need another pasuk? The first pasuk sounded like it was good. Eish Dos Lomo. So that tells me the right. Why do you need another pasuk to tell me the right? My V'Omer, what's the purpose of the second pasuk? Shemar says, V'chi teima urcha demilsa hi lemesa biyomin. Because if you're going to tell me that most people are righties, so of course you're going to give the Torah with your right hand. That's not a proof. That's the way Rashi understands this. Tosos says over here, nearly the top Tosos, farish kolmar adiraba, ki hechi dahosum yoav kutcha brichu mimino, hochanami hamispalo yitin shalom yilmin shalom bereisha. just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, uses his right hand, so we should use our right side first. That's the way Tosus understands it. So that's why you have the second pasuk that teaches us, no, Yipol Mitzidcha Elef Vav Minecha. That tells us, no, that the right hand is really the critical one, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand. Similarly, Rava Chazil Abaye, do you have Shlomo Leimina Bereisha? Rava saw Abaye giving Shalom first to the right. And he told him, you're doing it wrong. Rava tells him, Amalei, Mi Saris Liyomin Didach. We're not talking about your right. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right. L'smol Didach Kamina. It's your left, which is Kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right. It's just, again, you're facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so his right hand, Kaviyach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right side, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no body, no sides, no right, no left, but we anthropomorphize and say it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right, which is on your left, so you first turn to your left, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right. L'smol Didach Kamina. Davi Yemino Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Kaviyach, the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, Amar Rav Chiya b'Rei de Rav Huna, Rav Chiya, the son of Rav Huna, said, Chazina luhu li'abaye v'rava. I personally saw both Abaye and Rava deposu luhu shalosh b'sios b'chuya achas. When they took the three steps back, their body was bent the entire time. As they took the three steps back, they bent their body down again in a position of submission and humbleness. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, that the Kohen Gadol goes and says a tefillah kitzara in the heichal. After he comes out of the Kodesh Kodashim, before he goes out of the Heichal, he says a Tefillah Kitzara. Now, my Matzli, what did he daven? So, Agius and Agamar is as follows. Rava by Rav Adda, the Ravin by Rav Adda, both Rava and Ravin were the sons of Rav Adda, and both of them said, Tarvaya Mishmei, the Rav, they both said the name of Rav, the following, Amri. This is what the Kohen Gadol said, Yiratzom Lefanech Hashem Elokeinu, Shetei Shana Zu Geshuma Ushechuna. They said, may it be a will HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this year it should be Geshuma, a rainy year, and Ushechuna, a hot year. Mara says, really? Shechuna Ma'ayisahu? This is what the Kohen Gadol is davening for? That we should have a hot year? Is that a good idea? So Mara says, no, you're right, that's not what it meant. Ela Eima, Im Shechuna, if it's going to be a hot year, Tei Geshuma, let at least be a lot of rain to counteract the negative aspects of it being a hot year. Furthermore, the Kohen Gadol said, Rav Acha b'rei de Rava, Misayim ba Mishmei de Rav Yehuda. Rav Acha, who was the son of Rava, concluded this tefillah that the Kohen Gadol did with the following girsa from Rav Yehuda. Lo ya'ade ovid shulton midabes Yehuda. That there should never be a ruler of Klai Yisrael other than coming from Malchus Yehuda, coming from Beis Yehuda. Furthermore, v'lo yu amchi so tzrichim. Now the girsa we have is lefarnes. Others suggest lefarnasa zemizeh. We shouldn't be relying upon each other for parnasa. V'lo tikanes lefanecha tefilas ovidrochem. And likewise, that the tefila of people that are traveling on the roads shouldn't counteract the people that are traveling on the roads was dry weather. But most people were farmers and they wanted moist weather. They wanted rain. So don't let the tefila of the people on the road, which is asking for a dry weather, counteract the people's need for water. That's what the Kohen Gadol David. The Tosfos Yeshanim brings down over here from the Yerushalmi additional things. He says, V'lo yagbiu serora zeh zeh. We shouldn't be fighting with each other. V'zeu shiyosad apayit b'seid yom kippurim. This is in the davening of Yom Kippur. There are a whole additional series of things that we say in the kapitel Amitz Koach. Now, many of them, Farshim, ask, why didn't he just say the regular pasuk, lo yosu shevet mi Yehuda, which is the understanding over here that we're dealing that you shouldn't have malchus coming from Yehuda. So some suggest that when you're davening in the presence of the Shechina, for example, by the bed of a sick person, you don't have to mention certain things, and you can daven in Aramaic because you're not using any intercedents, malachim, that need to help your tefillahs get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you're directly in the presence of the Shechina, like the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, or for example, when you're davening by the bed of a sick person, so the Shechina's presence is there, so then you could say something in Aramaic. Now, why did the Bedavka say this? So it's interesting, in the second Beis HaMikdash, you often had Kohanim that were claiming to be from Malchus Beis David somehow, and in other words, they were taking the Malchus upon themselves. So that's why they said this specifically in the second Beis HaMikdash, that yeah, we're from Malchus Beis David too, even though they were Kohanim. Very strange. In any event, we go back to the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol by the following story. We just said before, the Lo Tikonos Lefanecha Tefillas Ovri Drochim, that none of the people that are traveling on the roads, that their tefillahs are different than the people who are the farmers. They're going to have different desires, so don't let the people traveling outweigh the need for rain for the farmers. So it tells us Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. Now, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza was one of the greatest Tanoim. He was probably, arguably, the biggest Baal Mofes that we have in all of Shas. The Gemara, in a number of places, tells us all the wonderful stories and miracles that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa did. He was certainly Lamala min Ateva in every way, shape, and form. So, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, have a ka'azel be'urcha. He was once traveling on the road, in Shada Mitra Ale, and it started to rain. So, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa speaks up, and he says, Amar, Ribbono shel Olam, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kala olam kulo benachas. All the people that own land, the rest of the world, they're all very happy right now. L'chanina b'tzar, but I'm traveling and I'm in a little bit uncomfortable. And Mefarshim explained that he was uncomfortable because he was extremely poor. Some of the stories about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a golden leg of a table that he would eventually have in Olam Haba. And he said, okay, support yourself with this golden leg of your table in Olam Haba. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa originally took it, and ultimately he said, no, I don't want to use up my zechusa from Olam Haba, and he gave it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it back. So this is who we're dealing with, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So he didn't even have a shirt on his back. He didn't even have an umbrella. He didn't have a raincoat. So he was basically saying, I'm in a lot of trouble. Somewhere else we have stories where you have to borrow a shirt. So he had discomfort from the rain. So he was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me an umbrella. Give me your raincoat. So Pasak Mitra. But Hashem said, no, if you're in trouble, I'll just stop the rain. So the whole world's now going to be unhappy, but Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa will be good. So Kiyosla basically, as soon as he gets home, he says, Omar, Ribbono shel Olam, kol olam kulo b'tzar. Everybody else is unhappy. Rashi explains, because everybody else has land. I don't have any land. Chanina benachas, I'm okay that it's not raining because I don't have any land. So also immediately the rain came. Now, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, basically, whatever he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did because he was such a great tzaddik. In any event, Amr of Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, when you're dealing with the Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Maya Hanya leitz lusi the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol can daven from here till tomorrow, saying that please don't listen to the people traveling on the roads. But if the people traveling on the road are Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, legabi Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, it doesn't work. The tzlusa of the Kohen Gadol won't work against somebody of the stature of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. In any event, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Ma'ase b'Kohen Gadol echad. Now, the Tosfos Yeshanim over here brings down that this was Shimon HaTzadik, who we discussed early in the Masechta, was an unbelievably great Kohen Gadol. And some suggest that this was in his last year, which we had early in the Masechta as well, was when he knew he was going to die, because until then he saw the white imagery of the Tzadik inside the Holy of Holies when he was there, which represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this year he saw the black clothed Tzadik. So, in any event, this is Shimon HaTzadik, Kohen Tosu Yishon, and the Maisa goes as follows. Maisa b'Kohen Gadol Echad, Sheruch b'Tfilaso. He stretched out his tefillah. We said in the Mishnah, you shouldn't stretch out your tefillah. So the people got very nervous. V'nimnu Echad v'Kohanim l'Kohenes Achrov. So they decided, hey, we got to check him out. You know, maybe he died. In future years, after Shimon HaTzadik, so they used to tie a rope around them, because if they, Nebuch died, as they often did in the second Beis HaMikdash, they'd have to pull him out. But with Shimon HaTzadik, they didn't expect that. So they didn't tie a rope around him. So they said, we better go and check and see what happened to him. So they started to go in, and he was coming out. Whoa, thank God. Why'd you go and daven so long? You got us nervous. So Amalam, he said, why are you getting upset? Is it bad in your eyes? What do you think I was doing in there? I was davening for Klai Yisrael. I was davening for you. And that the Beis HaMikdash shouldn't be destroyed. So Amulah, they said, okay, great. Alti Rogel Asuskim, but please don't do this regularly. Shari Shanino, because we learned it on Mishnah. Lo Yamarach Tvilaso, the Kohen Gadol should not stretch out his Tvila, Kadeshul Lahavis is Yisrael, not to get everybody nervous and make them all scared that the Kohen Gadol had died. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. We finished the Ketoris, and now we go and start doing the blood offerings, the blood applications, Lefnai V'Lefnim. We'll see that there's the par of the Kohen Gadol, and the Sar Lashem, that each had blood applications inside the Lefnai V'Lefnim, and then inside the Heichal towards the Lefnai V'Lefnim, towards the Paroches, and then additional applications on the inner Mizbeach. And we'll see that this is a critical part of the Avoda, and now we'll learn what it is. So the Mishnah begins. Mishanita lo Aron, once the Aron was taken away. Now, our Mishnah, as the Gemara will explain, goes according to the opinion that the Aron was not Nignaz. Previously we said that the Aron was Nignaz, it was hidden away. According to this opinion, though, it was taken by Nebuchadnezzar Nebuch into Golus. So our Mishnah holds like that opinion, Mishanita lo Aron, when the Aron was taken away. So, Evan Hoysa Shom Mimos Nevi'im Rishonim. There was a rock that was there from the days of the Nevi'im Rishonim. Rashi tells us that the Nevi'im Rishonim are David and Shmuel. So these great luminaries, David and Shmuel, they noticed this Evan Shasiyah. U Shasiyah Haisa Nikreis, this Evan was known as the Evan Shasiyah. it was basically where the whole world was created, according to one opinion, from this area. And Gavoa min Aretz, Shalosh Espos, it was elevated above the ground. Most of it was below the ground, but it was elevated above the ground 3 etzbos, a very short amount above the ground. And when they didn't have the Aron anymore, for Olel Hayanosi, this is where they put the coals down, and then they put the incense on these coals, Lifnai v'lifnim. Now the Gemara says, after the incense was done, we now come to the Kohen Gadol bringing in the par, doing the blood applications of Flavid of Flim, and then ultimately doing the blood applications of the Sar. It had to be done in this order. If you didn't do it in this order, it would ruin it. Now remember, we had shechted already the par of the Kohen Gadol, and somebody was stirring the blood so it shouldn't congeal. After he finishes the Ketores, he goes to that place, takes the container of the blood from the person who was stirring it, so it hasn't congealed, and nichnas lamakum shenichnas, and he goes back inside, lifnai v'lifnim, to the same place that he was before when he did the ketores. V'abad b'makum shamad, he stands exactly bein habadim, like we spoke about with the ketores, where he stood beforehand, and now he does the first series of applications of blood towards, but not on top of, the Aron Kodesh, when the Aron Kodesh was there, or in that general area when there was no Aron Kodesh in the second base of Megdush. He does the blood applications, achas lamala v'shev lamata. He does one up and seven down, which we'll explain in a moment what that means, but it doesn't mean he did it on the kaporis. He didn't do it on the Aron Kodesh. He just did in a certain order, decreasing of the distance, so to say, where he flipped the blood. So achas lamala, that's the first one, and then shev lamata, seven below that. It's not that he had intention to do it in a specific place on the kapores, on top of the aron. No, because the blood didn't go on the aron, it just went in that general direction. So when we say achas lamala and shev lamata, it doesn't mean literally on top or below a certain point on the aron kodesh. Ella, he did a kematzlif. The Gemara will say it's like a whip. Right now we don't explain it, but it's like a whipping motion. He turns his hand in a certain way, like he was whipping, and that's what it means, achas lamala and shev lamata. And this next part of the Mishnah should sound very familiar to us from the Nusach of the Yom Kippur davening. And so the Kohen Gadol would count to make sure that he did the right number of blood applications. He would say, achas. Then he would say, achas v'yachas. He would count. He had to count 8, but he didn't count 8. He did 1 and 1, and 1 and 2, and 1 and 3. And this way he would get to the total of 8. So, achas v'yachas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholosh, achas v'arba, achas v'chomesh, achas v'sheish, achas v'sheva. And that was the 8 blood applications that he did, lifnai v'lifnim, of the power of the Kohen Gadol. When he finished those 8 blood applications, Yotza, he would leave the same way as he had done with the Ketores. He backed out. V'nicho al kan ha-zohav shebehechol. And he placed the container of the blood, because he still would need to do blood application with that container of the par that he'd done the Kabbalah in for the par of the Kohen Gadol, so he put it down on a golden stand that was in the Heichal. Now, he would then go out of the Heichal back to the area of between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, where he would shech the Sar Lashem. Now they brought the Sar to him. The Sar was near Shar Niknar, which we had originally. That's where they did the selection with the Kalfi to pick which was the Sar Lashem, which is the Sar Lazazel. So the Kohanim would bring him the Sar to the Bein Ulam Lemizbeach area in the north, where he would then go and shech the Sar Lashem. Shechato the Kibel b'Mizrach is Domo. And he would do either a partial Shechita, enough that he did the 51% like we said previously, and then somebody else would do the rest of the Shechita here. Or alternatively, some suggest, since this was a sire, it wasn't as big an animal as the par, he could do the entire Shechita himself. And anyway, the Miri brings down both of these opinions. So he does the Shechita on the sire. He certainly has to do a complete Shechita, halachically complete Shechita, whether he did the entire Shechita or somebody else took over once he did the halachically complete Shechita. Again, the Miri says different opinions. So he did this, Shechato, the Kibel b'Mizrach is double. He collected the blood in the Kli Shares, and now he goes back inside to do Lifnai v'Lifnim, the blood applications of the Sar Lashem. Nichnas l'makum shenichnas. He goes back to the exact same place where he did the Ketores and we did the Zrika of the power of the Kohen Gadol. For Amar b'Makom Shomad, he stood in between the Badim when the Badim were present, or in that area in the second base Hamikdash. V'hizo b'menu achas l'malo v'shev l'mata, and he did the same exact blood applications for the power of the Kohen Gadol. He did it with the Sar Lashem. And again, v'kachal yamone, and he counted the same way. Achas, achas, v'yachas, achas, v'shtayim, v'chule. It doesn't repeat the entire thing. Each time we're going to have the chule, it's going to be shorter because we know what we're talking about. So then, after he does all of these 8 blood applications, the 1 and the 7, so then he finishes doing the 16 lifnai v'lifnim. He did the first 8 on the par. Now he did the next 8 on the sor l'Hashem. He would leave. He backed out. He plays this blood on a separate stand, the golden stand in the Hechel, near the par's blood. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, lo yosham elo kan echad bilvad. There was only one stand over there, and he could only place one container, one klisharis of blood on it. So first he put the par, and now when he's coming to put the sar there, he would take the par back and put the sar down. So notal dama par v'niach dama sar. He took the par's blood in his hand, and he put down the sar's blood. And now he continues to do the par's applications that are in the heichal, but towards the paroches that separates the heichal from the kodesh kedoshim. And now that's what the Mishnah tells us. V'hiza mimenu ala paroches shekineged aron mibachutz. Kohen Gadol went to the middle part of the paroches, which was directly opposite where the Aron would be in the first base of Mikdash, or in the place where it would be in the second base of Mikdash, and he's standing in the Kodesh, facing towards the paroches and the Kodesh Kodoshim. And while he's there, he starts doing the 8 applications first of the par, and then he'll do the 8 applications of the sar afterwards. So v'hiz avimenu ala paroches, he did it towards the paroches. There's a big machlokus later in the Gemara as to whether it landed on the paroches or didn't land on the paroches, but he did it in that general direction for sure. And he did these 1 and 7, total of 8 applications, kineged the aron mibachutz, from the heichal facing towards the kodesh kedoshim, towards the paroches. And again, achas lamala v'sheva lamata, he did 1 higher up and 7 lower down, meaning the way that he twisted his hand was kematzlif, as we had before. He didn't intend to do it 1 higher and the other 7 below that, but again, it was like kematzlef. Here we don't go through it again. We don't go through it. We just say, yeah, he did the exact same 1 and 7 as we did before for the Dam of the Par and the Sor Lashem inside. He does the same thing in the Hechel outside towards the inside, towards the Kodesh Kodoshim. He then repeats the exact same thing with the Sor. Notal Dam Sor v'niach Dam Par. He goes and takes the dam of the sar, either it was on a separate stand or it was on the single one stand, according to Rabbi Yehuda. He puts down the blood of the par and takes the blood of the sar. Not al dam sar, v'niach dam par, v'hiz omimenu ala parochas shekineged aron mechutz. And he does the 8 applications, the 1 and 7, with the dam of the sar in the kodesh, towards facing the parochas and the kodesh kedoshim, in exactly the same place. And again, it doesn't even go through the rest of it, but it does the exact same thing. And we now have 32 blood applications in total between the par and the sar. 8 inside for the par, 8 inside for the sar l'Hashem. 8 towards the inside in the heichal, towards the kodesh kedoshim, but outside in the heichal, towards the paroches that separates the heichal from the kodesh kedoshim. 8 with the par, 8 with the sar, a total of 32. This is important because we're going to eventually get up another 11 that everybody agrees to be a total of 43 blood applications that everybody agrees to, and we'll see it's a machlokus, whether it's 43, 44, 47, or 48 as we go through the further Gemaras. But for right now, we have our first 32. That's important to keep in mind. Finally, the Mishnah Kluten says, Eira dama par l'sok dama sar. He then combines the two containers of blood. He takes the container having the dam of the par, and he pours it into the container having the dam of the sawyer, and then the nasan samali bereker. Then he does the reverse to mix it well. Rashi explains in the Gemara, he then takes the sawyer's blood, and it was mixed now with the par, and he pours it back into the par container. Both of the bloods are mixed together, and we will then continue to do the 11 applications with the mixed blood. At least that's one opinion. There'll be another opinion that says that you do them separately. We'll get to that later on in the Gemara. Gemara starts off now and says, our Mishnah said, Misha nignaz lo kitani ela mishinital. Our Mishnah didn't say when the Aron Kodesh was hidden away, it said when the Aron Kodesh was taken. So this is going like the opinion that says that the Aron Kodesh was not nignaz, the Aron Kodesh was taken. Tanan, Kiman the Omar, Aron Gola leBavel. This goes according with the opinion that Nebuchadnezzar stole the Aron and brought it to Babel. And this is in the following price of the Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Oron Golul Bavel. Rabbi Eliezer states that the Oron was taken into Golus in Bavel by Nebuchadnezzar. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'leshuvas Hashona, at the end of that year, Sholach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, V'yivyehu Bavelo Im Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem. And he brought all the Chemdas Klei Hashem, which includes the Oron. So this Pasuk says that they took the Oron. Rav Shimon ben Yochai agrees, but brings a different pasuk. Rav Shimon Yochai also says that the Aron was taken into Babel, and he says, based upon the pasuk, Aron Gola LeBavel Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Lo Yivaser Dovar Amar Hashem, nothing will be left behind. Dovar is a play on the Luchos, the Dibros, Elu Aseres HaDibros Shabo. So this was referring to the Aron being taken with the Luchos inside of it. Those are the first two opinions, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who say that the Aron was in fact taken into Golus Bavel. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, that's the Girsa that we have, but the Morsos HaShah says that we leave out the ben Lakish, or others have in the Girsa and the Yerushalmi, that it should be Rehuda bar Eloi, whoever it was, said this is what went on. Aron bimkomo nignas, the Aron was put into the Beis HaMikdash, hidden away in the chambers that Shlomo HaMelech had made, Shnemar, Vayiro Roshi Abadim in HaKodesh, Apnei HaDivir, Velo Yiro HaChutza, Vayusham Ad Yom HaZeh. That they didn't leave from there, they're there to this day. In other words, they're still there, they were never taken out. So we have a machlokas over here between Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, or Rabbi Yehuda Stam, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and Rabbi Eliezer. That's the first opinion that we have in our Gemara. Upliga de Ula, and this opinion argues with Ula, because Ula is going to disagree and say that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai also says that the Aron was Nignas and not that the Aron was taken into Golos, like Rabbi Eliezer says. Upliga de Ula, the Amar Ula, Shah Rav Masya ben Charesh, says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Beromi, the story is elsewhere in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Yochai went to Rome along with one of the other Tanoim to go and fight some evil decrees, and they had an opportunity to go inside the Vatican and go and look inside there and see the Paroches, other Klei HaKodesh, and it says, V'chi mi'achash Rabbi Eliezer, melamdenu, pam rishona, ushnia, arun golu lebavel. He said that Rabbi Eliezer certainly holds from Pam Rishon and Pam Shnia, Rashi explains, Kloma Mishnei Mikros, from two different psukim, that the Aron was taken into Babel. What are your thoughts? He's eventually going to ask Rav Shimon bar Yochai. In any event, the Gemara stops and interrupts this and says, Rishona Hodamor. The pasuk, the first pasuk that we just said, Luchuvas Hashon Shalach Melch Nuchanetz, Vivea Bavela in Kleichem the Space Hashem. That's pasuk number one. Vivea Bavela in Kleichem the Space Hashem. So that's the first pasuk, Shnia Maihi. What's the second pasuk? In the brice that we just brought down, we only had one pasuk. So the Gemara says, Tichsiv, the pasuk says, Nebuch in Eicha, Vayetze Mibas Tzion. We turn to Nundal Ramon Aleph, Kol Hadora. All of her greatness was taken away. What does it mean? Mai Kol Hadora? As Rashi says, Kol Hadora means Hagonuz B'chadre Hadorim, the things that were hidden away. And that means Hadora. That means the Aron Kodesh. So therefore, those are the two psukim that Eliezer used. So Rav Masya ben Choresh asked Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, "No, you, do you hold like Rabbi Eliezer? Ata, my Ata Omer. What's your opinion?" Now, in the first price that we brought down, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai agreed with Rabbi Eliezer, albeit he had a different pasuk. But here, Ula disagrees with that first understanding, and he says that Amar Lo, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to Rav Masya ben Choresh, "No, I don't agree with Rabbi Eliezer. Ella, Shani Omer. I personally hold Aron bimkomo nignas. I hold that the Aron was in fact hidden away, similar to Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi or Rabbi Yehuda Stam from the previous brisa, but he gives a different pasuk and he says Shenemar. The pasuk says Vayarichu Abadim VeGomer. What is this pasuk? It says Vayarichu Abadim VeYiroru Roshi Abadim Min HaKodesh HaPnei HaDvir VeLo Yiroru Chutzah VeYushab Ad Yom HaZeh. And they were there to this very day. So that's an important thing that they never left. They're still there to this very day. That's what Ula said. Amalei Rabba Leula. Rabba says, I don't agree with you. My mashma, how are you telling me over here that it means that they're there till this very day? Dechsev, are you shom ad yom hazeh? And therefore, v'kol hecha dechsev ad yom hazeh li'olamu, it means forever that it's there, so it's there till this very day. But I'll show you that that's not true. V'chsev, v'esayevusi yoshev Yerushalayim lo horishu b'nei binyamin, v'yeshev ayevusi es b'nei binyamin b'yushalayim ad yom hazeh. So it tells us that Binyamin was never able to get rid of the Yevusi, who lived in Yerushalayim, and that they're still there to this very day. So are you telling me, Hochanami, Delos, Galu, that Binyamin didn't go into Galus? So this is a good point for us to break over here, and we'll darshan further to show you that when it says Ad Hayom Hazeh, it doesn't mean absolutely to this very day, as we will point out, because the Gemara is going to say Binyamin clearly is not there to this very day. So we'll have to explain this, but Mitzvah Hashem will pick this up tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shiur.